Das kann so sein, dass der Bach so sagen, wenn man Judem sagt, dass der Kedushin darf ein Gimmel. Sagen wir, Bryce says, Rabbi Yossi says, the Ger may marry him, I'm Zeres. The Ger is not considered to be part of the Kal. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Ger may not marry him, I'm Zeres. The Ger is included in part of the Kal. A Ger, a freed slave, and a Chalal are all mutter to marry a Kehenes. Rabbi Yossi's view, Zachim Mar, is based on the following. In the Pesukim regarding the people of Tosel Yichas, the Torah says the word Kal 5 times. One to teach that they are also to Kehanim, once for Leviim, once for Yisraelim. One to teach that a Mamzer may marry a Shtuki, and one to teach that a Shtuki may marry Yisrael. This leaves out Ger and teaches that they are not included in the term Kal. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Kehanim and Leviim are from one Sheva, therefore they can be learned from the same word Kal. That leaves an extra word Kal, which teaches that Gerim are included in the term Kal. We can also say that a separate kal is needed for Kehanim and Leviim, but one kal can teach that a mamzer may marry a shtuki and that a shtuki may marry a Yisrael, because this is learned from the fact that only a definite mamzer, not a shtuki, is also to marry into the kal, and also that a mamzer is only also to marry into the definite kal, not a shtuki, who is a suffix mamzer. We can also say that each of these does not need a separate kal, and Rabbi Yehuda learns his halacha from the pasuk that says Hakol Huka Achas Lochem VeLager Hagor, which teaches that a ger is included in the term Kal. Rabbi Yosi disagrees with that because he says that the word Huka Achas creates a separation between the words Hakahal and Ger. The second statement of the Brice is a proof to Rav. We find that Rehuda named Rav said that a Kehenes of Pure Yichas is not restricted from marrying the Psulma that a Kohen of Pure Yichas would be also to marry. Rav Zeri once dashed the Mechuzah that a ger is mutter to marry a Mamzeres. The entire crowd pelted him with their Esroigim because there were many ger in Mechuzah and they objected to his not treating them as members of the Kal. Rav asked, is anyone who can teach us halacha to the people of Mechuzah in a way that they'll be accepted of it? Rav then went and dashed the Mechuzah that a ger may marry a Kehenes. The people reacted by giving him gifts. He then dashed that a ger may marry a Mamzeres. They told him, you have lost the credit from the first statement you made. He told them, I did a good thing for you. If you want, you can marry anyone from a Kehenes all the way down to a Mamzeres. The Gemara paskins, a ger is mutter to marry a Kehenes and mutter to marry a Mamzeres. Misha then said, Eilu and Shtuki kol shemakir. Rabbi said, the Raisa Shtuki is mutter to marry into the Kal. Why? Most men in the world are mutter to this mother. She was a single woman and therefore mutter to most men. Only a minority of men are also to her. Therefore, if the man came to her to be Mazana, we have the rule that called the Parsh Meruba Parsh. And we can assume that the man was mutter to her and the child is not a mamzer. Even if she went to him, we say, kol kavu kamech sal mechzer dami. The child would only be a suffix mamzer. We learn from the Pasuk that only a definite mamzer is also to marry into the Kal. And also that a mamzer is only also to marry into the definite Kal. It's the Rabbanan who say that a Shtuki is also as a Xera, that since he doesn't know who his father is, if he marries a girl from the Kal, it may be a sister from his father. If so, a Shtuki should not be allowed to marry another Shtuki either. Mar says we won't assume that a father produced two children out of wedlock. If so, a Shtuki should not be allowed to marry the daughter of a Shtuki who went and married and had a legitimate daughter, because this girl's father may be his father. It must be that it's an uncommon case and therefore we're not geyser. If so, we wouldn't be geyser for any case of Shtuki. So why did the Rabbanan say a Shtuki can't marry into the Kahal? Mar says the Rabbanan set a very high standard when it comes to the matter of Yichus and therefore prohibited a Shtuki from marrying into the Kahal. Rava said that Deraisa and Asufi is mutter to marry into the Kal. Why? This child who's left on the street is not likely to have become from a married woman, because even if the child is not her husband's, she would claim that it was and wouldn't throw the baby out. The married woman wouldn't throw the baby out. The concern is that the child was born to a mother from another man when she was only in Arusa, or when her husband was traveling overseas. In both these cases, she could not claim it was from her husband. But these cases are the minority. The majority would be cases where the mother was single, or where the child was legitimate and the parents couldn't afford to feed the child and therefore left him on the streets. So at best, it's a case of suffix mamzer. And we learn from the pasuk that only a definite mamzer is also to marry into the Kal, and also that a mamzer is only also to marry into the definite Kal. It's the Rabbanan who said that a Shtuki is Osir, or in this case that an Asufi is Osir, as a Xer, that since he doesn't know who his father is, if he marries a girl from the Kal, it may be the sister from his father. If so, an Asufi should not be allowed to marry another Asufi either. Mara says that we won't assume that the same parents threw away two children. In fact, if so, an Asufi should not be allowed to marry the daughter of an Asufi who went and married and had a legitimate daughter, because the girl's father may be his father. Mara said it must be that this is an uncommon case, and that's why we're not Goyza. If so, we wouldn't be Goyza for any case of Asufi. So why did the Rabbanan say an Asufi can't marry into the Kahal? Mara said the Rabbanan set a very high standard when it comes to matters of Yichus, and therefore prohibited an Asufi from marrying into the Kahal. Rabbi Bar Huna said if the baby was found with a bris milah, or if the baby's limbs were straightened and cared for, if the baby had oil applied to it, or eye makeup, or certain herbs used for health reasons tied around its neck, or a written kameh, or a kameh of spices, the baby is not given the status of a Sufi, since the baby was cared for. To this degree, it proves that the baby is not illegitimate. If the baby was found hanging from a palm tree, if it was in a place where animals could reach it, the baby is an Asufi. If not, it's not an Asufi. If it was found in a rudza tree near the city where there are many shadim, then it's an Asufi. If it's not near the city, it's not an Asufi. If the baby was found in a shul near the city where there are always people around, the baby is not an Asufi. It was far away from the city, it's an Asufi. A member said if a baby is found in a ditch used for storing date pits or for animal feed, the baby is an Asufi. If the baby was found in the river where ships pass, it's not an Asufi. It was found in the river banks where they overflow from the rainwater, it is an Asufi. If it was found in the sides of the Rishus Rabbim, it's not an Asufi. If it was found in the Rishus Rabbim, it is an Asufi. Rava said in years of hunger, the baby is not considered to be an Asufi. Fakma, regarding which case it was Rava's statement said, it can't be in the case where the baby was left in the Rishus HaRabim to be trampled and killed, because even in years of hunger, the mother would not go and kill her child. It can't be where the baby was left on the sides of the Rishus HaRabim, because even in a year that's not a hunger, the child that's left over there is not in the Sufi. Rava, and for the Gemara, Rava was referring to a statement that he said in the name of Rav, that as long as the baby is still in the street, the parents of the baby are believed to claim the baby as their own. Once the baby was taken from the street, we would no longer believe people claiming to be the parents. Rava explains, the reason is, since the status of the Sufi was already placed onto this baby, we can no longer believe the people claiming to be the parents. Rava then said that in the years of hunger, the parents would be believed even after the child was taken from the streets. Rav Chisda said there are three people who are only believed if they make an immediate claim. People who claim an Asufi, a midwife, and a woman who says that other women are not anita. The Gemara explains like this. The case of an Asufi was explained above, they only believe while the baby was still on the street. The case of a midwife is in a Braisa, and the midwife is believed to say which of the twins are born that were born as the Bechor, but only she makes this claim before leaving the room. According to Rabbi Lezer, she only believes if she makes this claim before turning away from the babies, even if she's still in the room. Finally, the case of a woman and the anita status is if there are three women who slept in the same bed and the blood is found in the bed, they're all tamei as anita. However, if one woman does an immediate bedikah and find that she's anita, the other women are safe from becoming tamei as anita. A Braisa says, if a midwife assisted multiple births, she's believed to say, this child is a Kohen, this is a Levi, this is a Mamzer, this is a Nosen. If four fathers each had one of these categories. She's only believed if there were no challenge raised against the status that she assigned to this child. If there was a challenge, she would not be believed. What was meant by this challenge? It can't mean that one person says differently than her, because Rabbi Yechonon said that a challenge can't be less than two people. If the Braisa is discussing when there are two people who say different to her. Second, we can say that there's only one person who says differently. However, when Rabbi Yechonon said that one person's challenge is worthless, that's when it's going against a Chazoka. However, here, it's not going against Chazok, and therefore the person is believed to challenge the status. The Braisa then said, a seller is believed to say, I sold the item to this person and not to that person. He's only believed if he's still in possession of the item that was sold. If not, he's not believed. Why don't we just say who gave him the money? The Braisa said, the cases where he accepted the money from both people, one of them willingly and one of them was forced upon him. He has to remember which one was which. The Braisa then says, a judge is believed to say, I'm passing in favor of this person and passing against that person. He's only believed when while the litigants are still there standing in front of him. If they're no longer there, he's not believed. Why don't we just look to see who has a document that shows that he won? The Braisa said, the case is a document that is destroyed. Why don't we just rejudge the case? The Braisa said, the Braisa is discussing a case that was decided based on the judge's discretion, which is sometimes done, and therefore there's no guarantee that the case will be decided in the same way, if it's judged a second time. Finally, Rav Nachman said, three people are believed to say that a particular child is a Bechor: the midwife, the father, and the mother. The midwife is only believed immediately, the mother is believed during the first 7 days of the baby's life, the father is believed forever.